She is good to the good, she is good to the bad, and this is real goodness. And so we believe, don't we, that to be good and decent and loving and generous and kind, more than anything, to be kind, no matter what, no matter how we're treated, no matter how stressed we are in that moment, to be kind without fail or hesitation, that this is the mark of goodness. Think of the person you admire most in your life. Not someone you know from afar, but someone you know up close. I'm betting that for most of you, kindness is a core quality of that person. They might express that kindness through hospitality or generosity, and they might be quiet about it or visible. It might be a collection of small deeds or one great big gesture. But they are kind and giving, concerned for the welfare of others. And the reverse is true too, isn't it? Isn't the biggest turnoff rudeness? That's surly, grouchy, mean, and cruel. The stingy. Think how we feel when we hear of some supposed great person, but we find out that they treat the people close to them with contempt. There ain't no room for the hopeless sinner who would hurt all mankind just to help his own. That's not our theology. We are universalists, so we think there is room even for the hopeless sinner. But the sentiment that selfishness and unkindness is a grave error, a sin, this too we hold. A man was walking in a rough neighborhood and set upon by a band of thieves. They took his money and they beat him up and they left him lying there to die. A wealthy politico walked past and did not stop to help. A TV preacher strolled on by and did not stop to help. A foreigner, a day laborer without papers, saw the wounded man and took him to the clinic and paid the doctor and gave him some money. What are we supposed to do with our life? Love your neighbor. Who's my neighbor? Let me tell you a story. That's the story. That's the story at the heart of the Christian faith. And it's the core of the question that we ask as well. What is the admirable life? What is duty and kindness and love? And just as the editors of More Random Acts of Kindness write, the perspective between the giver and the receiver can be so different. The wounded man has seen two people go by on the road. He has been hurt by those who took his money. His faith in humanity surely is slipping away, if not gone altogether. For him, the Samaritan, the day laborer, the foreigner, performs an incredible act of selflessness and mercy. He does more than save his life. He restores his faith that people can do and be good. You can imagine that the wounded man will always think with gratitude and love toward the Samaritan. And how does the Samaritan feel? I suspect that he thinks only that he did what anyone would have done, right? You've heard that phrase from the kind, the hero, whether quiet or noticed. I didn't do anything that anyone wouldn't have done. Anyone would have done what I did. They say that. I was just in the right place to make a difference. You've heard those words. But of course, we know better. We know that not everyone would have done what they did because two people walked by and didn't help. And this is always true of kindness. That though it feels usually to the giver like no big deal, natural, and just the way we should be, it might give some satisfaction and joy, but not, it's just how we are. It often feels to the receiver like a life preserver in a stormy sea. That the act of kindness cuts through the fog of isolation and despair, and that it rescues the drowning and restores our faith in humanity itself. We who receive such acts of kindness often see the giver as an agent of the holy, the incarnation of our own personal guardian angel. The giver, they're just being themselves. What I know from hearing so many stories and from my own experiences is that the giver often doesn't know how much the act of kindness means to the receiver. They were just being themselves, They weren't looking for praise or acclaim and don't even know the power of their love to help others. What makes the story of the furnace repairman and the water heater repairman so powerful is that the homeowner doesn't know the man's tragedy. The sense of loss and grief compounded clearly in that no others have, it seemed, loved and cared for him in these 6 weeks. You can feel him slipping away, can't you? But the homeowner doesn't know that when she offers the clock. She knows only that he is grumpy and curt and unhappy. And you can tell the story such that the repairman says thank you and leaves, and never shares what is happening in his life with the homeowner. Doesn't turn around before he leaves. Doesn't say that. It still might affect him deeply. It still might be an act of kindness that means everything to him. But she wouldn't know that. The homeowner wouldn't know. This kind of thing happens all the time. Someone yields and lets us into traffic when we're having an awful day. And we never get to thank them for reminding us not all people are rude. Some are nice. A neighbor, and we don't see which one, shovels our sidewalk when we're out of town or feeling ill and makes us so glad to live where we do, but we never get to tell them. We don't even know who it is. And they didn't know how bad our day was, and then they made it better. Stuff like this happens all the time. The repairman actually thus offers to the homeowner a profound gift for her to know that her gift easily offered what it means to him to connect at this human level. There's another story like this. And if you're in one of the Spirit Journey groups and you listen to the podcast of the NPR TED Radio Hour on Giving, you'll hear the story. And it's in the newsletter that you'll receive early next week, so you can all listen to it. A volunteer fireman at his first fire. And the homeowner stands outside crying and panicking. The chief sends one of the firefighters in to rescue the cat, which is particularly on her mind at the moment. And our protagonist, Jeff, the volunteer firefighter, his very first fire is disappointed because he wanted to rescue someone. He wanted to be the hero. The chief sends him in to get the woman some shoes. And she stands barefoot outside her smoldering home, and Jeff grumbles, shoes not very glamorous. But he does it. He goes in, he finds some shoes, and he hands the woman her shoes, gets no acknowledgement from her whatsoever, as if she doesn't even see him. Feels bitter. And what did I do this for? But some weeks later, the station gets a letter. The homeowner praises the firefighters for their responsiveness and their professionalism, and she says, "You even got me shoes to wear when I wasn't thinking about that at all and needed them. You'll never know how much that means to me." And Jeff there, sitting in the fire station, has his world turned upside down. The moral of this is don't wait for the big heroic thing to help, the perfect chance to be kind and make a difference. Take what is in front of you and do that. You don't know what matters most. Do that. Don't delay or postpone waiting for the perfect moment. We're talking about random acts of kindness today for a few reasons. At last year's service auction, I put up for bid a sermon topic, and there is one for bid today as well. And one of the winning bidders was Steve Mahan, and this was his topic, random acts of kindness. And since Steve is the auction chair this year, I thought it might be nice to do his topic today. And the theme for November is give. Give. What will we do as we transform our world from inhumanity to love? We will give. So all month we're going to talk about giving, giving to charity, giving forgiveness, giving thanks. But we're going to start out by talking about giving kindness. Giving kindness. See how it all works out? If you're in one of the Spirit Journey groups or in a covenant group doing the theme materials, then one of your possible exercises is to perform a random act of kindness each day. You don't have to be in a group to do this. You can do it even if you're not in one of the groups. Perform an act of kindness each day. Each day, do something nice for someone, perhaps for someone you don't know. Buy someone a coffee or beer, offer up hugs, do a little yard or park cleanup, send a card just for the heck of it to tell someone that they matter to you. Tell your group how it goes or share it with us. We'll write it up and we'll post or publish some of them. I bet that you will find it to be powerful and connecting and life-affirming, but remember that you might not get any immediate feedback from others. They might not even say thank you. But you might also have done something amazing for them. You might change their whole day. You might change their whole life and have no idea. Now, before we go too far down the primrose path, I need to insert here a proviso, or a note of caution, a concern or two, something to keep in mind. First, in the words of our local rock stars, surrender, surrender, but don't give yourself away. Don't forget about balance. Don't burn yourself out by doing everything at once, because what the world needs is people who are kind for their whole lives. And there needs to be a balance between your obligations to your family, especially children, and kindness to strangers. It's tough to get that right. Don't make the need to be kind to others stop you from living your mission. Make it part of your mission, but don't make it everything. There's a connection here to questions of justice that I think is really important. There is the immediate need before you. But what about the system? What about the question of why is there a need before you? Why is there a need at all? Hopefully, the human connections that we make when we are being kind will move us to tackle more systemic and difficult questions of social injustice. We will see the individual and then begin to see how that is part of a system and work to change that. But that's not as much fun. And it doesn't come with the same social reward. You don't get a pat on the back. Aren't you charitable when you march and rally? As Dom Helder Camara said, when I feed the poor, they call me a saint. But when I ask why the poor are hungry, they call me a communist. The other main thing to keep in mind, and this is related to the question of justice, is about ensuring that our acts of kindness are not patronizing or self-serving. They come with no strings attached. Otherwise, it's not really a gift, is it? We'll call her Sally. Sally does not care for things, doesn't take good care of stuff, doesn't think this is a big deal, and so she has cheap things. Things are not important to her. Her sister, Betsy, loves nice things and wants Sally to have nice things. She's embarrassed every time she goes to Sally's house and there are no nice things. So out of what she thinks is kindness, she gives Sally little treasures. A nice vase one year, a beautiful framed piece of art another, an antique clock. Sally hates this because she feels the obligation to then care for these things, to keep track of them and pack them in bubble wrap when she moves, which she does often. It isn't kindness. It's an imposition. We've probably all received that offer to help from another, that offer you didn't feel you could say no to, even though you know that it will take more work to accept the help than the help will help with. We accept it mostly because human community demands that we say yes to one another when we can, that may be more important than efficiency. Community might be. Far more egregiously, there is a long history of supposed kindness that was really cultural imperialism, even genocide, blankets infected with smallpox, colonial governments we know best, IMF low-interest loans to build dams that destroy farms, food aid that makes money for American grain growers but undercuts the market for local farmers, thus making the next famine even worse. The denial and even the wiping out of cultural wisdom and power for others. Oh, we'll take your kids and teach them our way, our language. It's a long history. It's not kindness. I think that every child and teenager has felt the resentment from an adult who acts like they are helping, but really they are stopping the development of the young person. That's not always kindness. I know that almost every woman, and maybe there be need no almost in this sentence, has had the experience of supposed help that was deeply patronizing and even belittling. There's a term for this, mansplaining. When a man explains things to a woman or even to other men, and women sometimes can do this to men as well, mansplaining, as if the person being explained to is an idiot, without even asking, how much do you already know about this? These cautions shouldn't stop us from being kind to others. That would be a tragedy. But we are required to exercise a little thought first. Are we doing it for ourselves or for the other person? Would we be happy doing it if we got no credit for it at all? What are we giving up to take care of the person before us? And is that a wise or a just choice? It might be, but we should ask. Are we asking systemic questions about the origin and remedy of suffering? Are we helping in order to confirm our sense of power and privilege, or are we actually helping others live their own best life? Not our best life, their best life. These are not easy questions, but asking them can be a powerful way that our acts of kindness are really kind, that we do them with intentionality, that we make sure they serve the wider mission to transform our world from inhumanity to love. To me, the most powerful acts of kindness are acts of hospitality. This is what the Samaritan offers the wounded man, a place to stay, to welcome another into our home, into our circle of friendship, into our lives. It's a kindness, a simple one, and the most vital of all. This is how we love each other, how we sustain each other. To say, come sing a song with me. Thus shall we know each other. To take the time to welcome, to ask how are you, and stay for the answer, to introduce one to another, to build congregations and communities where people are welcomed and their lives enriched. This kind of hospitality is a kindness. The kindness of hospitality rarely suffers from the colonial mansplaining problem because we invite in rather than impose our will on another. The kindness of hospitality to say, call me if you need me, I'm here for you. If you need someone to lean on me. It leaves the sense of agency with the receiver and acknowledges I might need someone to lean on too, that we are all neighbors, equal to each other, supporting each other, that the kindness is not one way, but mutual. Let us celebrate kindness. Be kind, randomly or on purpose. When someone's kindness touches you, say so. Celebrate the vulnerability of compassion and the strength of love. Be welcoming and accept invitations whenever you can. Smile and hug and say thank you. To live this way will make the world more beautiful, more fun, more just, more neighborly. Let us celebrate kindness. Be kind to one another and to ourselves. And let us begin today. We're going to sing. It's in your teal hymnal, number 1021, and the words are up here. Please rise in body or spirit.